Live. Transform. This is 702. This is 702. For the curious.
26 minutes to go before we get to 9 o'clock. Up next, I'm going to have a very difficult conversation. And the reason why is because generally when these commissions of inquiry are set up, so in other words, they have been established, it's very difficult not to get into the nuts and the bolts of what is going to go through the process, because surely the process needs to be fair. You don't want to put people in difficult positions where they, where it sounds as if a predetermined outcome has already been decided on. But we're going to try to dive deep into understanding what it is that the Portfolio Committee of Parliament for Home Affairs is going to try to extract in terms of this inquiry that they're going to hold around the naturalization of the Gupta family. Now, joining me on the line, and unfortunately prior to the break, I called him mistakenly the spokesperson. He's the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs, Mr. Patrick Hlomane Chauke. Good evening and thank you for joining us, and my apologies for my error earlier on.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. And thank you very much again. And good evening to the listeners.
And good evening to you too, sir. Look, we're obviously undergoing this particular process. What does it entail? What are you trying to establish coming out of? What is the key question coming out of this particular process for the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs?
Well, I think you'll know that for quite some time now, the Committee of Parliament of Home Affairs has been grappling with the issue around the naturalization of the Gupta family and the confusion around that particular area, because at some point it was not clear exactly who has been naturalized within the Gupta family. And I think you'll be aware that this matter has been in the public domain for quite some time. And therefore, Parliament was then requested to investigate, the Portfolio Committee was requested to investigate this matter, find out exactly who in the naturalization of South African citizenship and how did they get South African citizenship. Then the committee resolved that we need not only to look at the issue that was at hand before, which was one individual member and his family, but go deeper into the entire Gupta family, looking at the first person that entered the country, the process in which he entered the country, documentation that was issued when this person entered the country, and the rest of them as they follow. So we then went into that detail. And that detail then informed that the Parliament Portfolio Committee, together with the Research Committee of Parliament and Legal Services of Parliament that support the operation of the Portfolio Committee, then started to collect documents, starting with the Department of Home Affairs, inviting the Director General, inviting some officials to come and present documents, and then look at the part of naturalization. There are certain requirements. Part of it is the contribution that you do, or donations that you do as a gesture to communities and all of that. We then discovered that there was an arrangement that we informed that the family was doing donations to almost 75 schools in the Northwest. You recall at some point where the position that says that we need even to invite the premier of the province just to come and clarify these issues, because there was no clarity to an extent that they were not sure that this family of Guptas, have they renounced their Indian citizenship? That's one of those things, that they can have South African citizenship but may not have renounced their Indian citizenship. As you know, that India does not allow dual citizenship. So it was on those bases that we then engage in this process. The outcome, obviously, will be an outcome that we just have to make sure that everything was complied with the law. And secondly, if there was anything wrong done with the issue of the citizenship, that process will have to be reversed. So that is where we are now. And then we have now agreed to put aside the days next week, starting from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then there are certain individuals that we have identified to come under oath to present themselves before the Portfolio Committee of Parliament.
So, I mean, obviously, naturalization is a function of Home Affairs. I mean, there are many immigrants and migrants into South Africa, and eventually, after some time, as you outlined, there are obviously legislative and policy conditions that they have to fulfill. So naturalization is part and parcel of what Home Affairs does, and it's part of their duties. So there shouldn't be any difficulties in that particular space. But the one thing that I note also is that obviously actually based on this inquiry, clearly there is not a just a belief, but clearly there is at least a prima facie understanding.
I'm losing you.
What I'm saying is, at least there. Have you lost me completely? Okay, I'm going to put you back to our producers and see whether they can reconnect you. But for me, what stands out of this, and this is what I want to get to the bottom of with Mr. Patrick Khromane Chauke here, is that obviously there must be something amiss, something of concern, a particular process that must have been missed or misunderstood for them to obviously take this particular course of action. Surely it doesn't come out of thin air. So looking at that particular issue. And then key to that, what I find interesting, and I wasn't even aware of this, so preparing for the inquiry today, members of parliament said that there were many questions about why controversial businessman Ajay Gupta would withdraw from the naturalization process while his immediate family members went on to become South African citizens, especially since there seems to be a close-knit family in this particular instance. Looking at some of the stuff coming through, just looking at the WhatsApps in the interim while we're waiting to get Mr. Khromane Chauke back online. SIU, according to my understanding, is a body is more useless than the NPA in terms of fighting graft in this country, or maybe Motibi was something that Advocate Health Heath lacked at the time. As we know, the Bosasa documents, what the Bosasa matter is still pending after so many years. The Nkandla debacle is there with no payback. Time for millions stolen by Zupta guys, Thulani in Kwatema. Okay, we have the good advocate back, the chairperson of the Parliament Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs. That's Patrick Khromane Chauke. So the question that I was getting at is that obviously naturalization is part and parcel of Home Affairs' day-to-day responsibilities. I mean, that's something that they are responsible for. Surely this inquiry is being held because there are certain questions or there are certain irregularities that might have arisen during this process. Is that what you're looking into?
Yeah, no, that is correct. Because the fact is, when they applied for naturalization, at some point, they were rejected by the Department of Home Affairs. Mm. And then we then understand that they then apply an appeal to the minister. After they have appealed to the minister, then they were then granted the citizenship. So that is, I think, the main issue around this whole thing of the citizenship of the Gupta family. But you'll understand that what the committee did was that to expand this investigation and look at from the beginning, and did the first person, because you are dealing with three families, which one that came first in the country? Which person that came first in the country? So that information is in position of the committee now, and then it's part of what we are now going to deal with, because we now understand that the first person that entered the country, it was in 1993, from the Gupta family, right?
Okay, can you just repeat the date there? Sorry, we lost you towards the end. You said which year?
1993. That was the first entry. Mm. Right, of one of the Gupta brothers in the country, and then the rest of them then followed, you know. Some of them came through work permits and all of that, you know, and then, applied for permanent residence, and then after applying for permanent, then they apply for citizenship, another one renouncing, others don't refusing to renounce their Indian citizenship. So that whole congregation is what we are going to be dealing with as a committee.
And obviously, added to this, I saw that one of the things that you discussed today was the fact that one of the brothers, being Ajay, has abandoned his naturalization process, because it's not as if the entire Gupta family have been automatically at the same time naturalized. Hello? Did we lose you again there?
Yeah, I got you. I can hear you.
Okay, sure. I'm just saying, is part of the query also looking into one of the brothers abandoning his bid for naturalization?
That's correct, because you see, when you apply as a group, the law stipulates clear that if one of you does not qualify, automatically all of you are rejected. This is what the law says, right?
Oh, okay.
Now, therefore, if one of you...
We're having difficulties with that line, it seems. We'll try to get him back. And I mean, there's so many other issues that I would love to explore with him also. Is that, I mean, who, for example, are some of the witnesses we already know and see that the Minister of Home Affairs, the current Minister of Home Affairs, that being Melusi Gigaba, is going to also appear, you know, in front of this inquiry process with the portfolio committee. You know, what are some of the things that they're going to look into there? Because as you recall, if I'm not mistaken, some of this happened before Melusi Gigaba's time. It happened, some of it also happened during his time. So to try to establish what facts comes out of that. And of course, looking at some of the other involvement when it comes to the Department of Home Affairs. It appears that we have the chairperson of Parliament's Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs, Mr. Patrick Hlomane Chauke, back. Do we have you back, sir?
Yeah, I think it's because of the rain. My apologies. There's so much rain in Cape Town for the first time in many years.
Yeah, no, that's good. At least you're getting the rain, and you know, the dams are filling up. But getting very quickly to my question, what I just wanted to, you were still busy explaining, obviously, you know, the naturalization process, and that if one family member, for example, in a group gets denied, then the entire group then obviously gets denied, etc., etc. Looking at the fact that Ajay Gupta is the person that has decided to end his naturalization application, what are you looking into in that particular instance? Do you find something fishy, as we would say very colloquially, in that instance?
Yeah, you know, for now, because we are now going to have them under oath, meaning that every official that is going to be talking to us is going to be talking to us under oath. They'll be sharing with us the truth, nothing else but the truth. And then, because we have identified some discrepancies, which on it, for now, I'll not be able to share with you public those discrepancies. But the fact is that we have identified them, and then we want clarity on those issues that we have identified. And then once we got the clarity, then we'll then determine and look at the, what does the law say, what are the issues that we've found as discrepancies, you know. And out of that, then the committee can then make its own recommendation to Parliament. Because you'll know that the report that we make, the work that we do, gets reported to Parliament. And if we have made a particular recommendation of either cancellation or whatever, and then Parliament will then pronounce itself. And once that is adopted by Parliament, it means that the action will have to be taken.
Okay, no, fully understood. I mean, I just want to quickly go through some of your witnesses. I see that one of your star witnesses in this instance would be the minister, the current Minister of Home Affairs. I understand that he was also the Minister of Home Affairs during at least some of these naturalization applications, and he wasn't the minister during some of the others. What do you expect to hear from him?
Well, look, what we've done is that we have identified not only the current minister, but we have identified a number of ministers that were, you know, in charge of Home Affairs then, and then look at under particular minister what activities, what issues of naturalization or permits that have happened. You know, if you really want to go back and then look at the first entry in the country and look at who was in charge, right, of the Department of Home Affairs, it takes you back to Manis Kuman, right? Manis Kuman, that is now during the apartheid time, right? During the regime of the National Party.
Sure.
And then the minister then, it was Manis Kuman. And then that's the time that a work permit was issued by the Department of Home Affairs. Then we're still not yet in power. Some of us were still in the trenches there. But nonetheless, nonetheless, you then move up and you look at 1995, all those activities that were happening. We have tried just to identify people who were involved. At the end of the day, the current minister takes the responsibility of the entire department, right? That is at the end of the day. That is his responsibility, you know, because successor in title, it means that every work, everything that has been done in that department, maybe ministers who have done whatever or DGs who have done, but at the end of the day, the political authority rests with the current minister.
Okay, no, I hear what you're saying. And obviously, then it looks we're looking at the issue of taking accountability for this. Now, I don't want to, and I said this right at the beginning of the conversation, the chairperson, that I don't want to anticipate an outcome, you know, where, and I know you're not a court of law, but you do understand that for the average person, we think in terms of guilty or not guilty. But the key question that I want to ask you is that, I mean, does your process then feed into other processes? So in other words, if you make certain adverse findings and there are certain concerns on your side, are you going to refer some of this back to the Zondo Commission? Because unfortunately, you can't say the surname Gupta without inferring or thinking at least of state capture. Are you going to refer some of this back to the NPA? Are some other forms of action going to be taken? Is there a possibility for that?
Look, firstly, I will say that, which is now in the public knowledge, that the Zondo Commission, they have taken an interest on the work that we are currently doing. They have requested, you know, some information that we can help them with. And I will take it that moving forward with all of this whole process, they will definitely, they are definitely taking a keen interest. And then if there's any way that they will request any information from Parliament, we'll be able to provide that information. But again, through our own recommendation, if we feel very strongly that there are certain things that we believe can be best suited to be handled within that commission, we will make a report via Parliament and request the Speaker of Parliament or Parliament to forward such information for further investigation or processing, you know. Because if you look at the whole thing we're dealing with, there is what we call the leak emails, right?
Yeah.
That got to do with issuing of visas within 24 hours. There are certain individuals who have been key in mobilizing people from India and the rest of the world to come to the country. Some of them coming with fraudulent visas, some of them giving work permits, some of them giving holiday visas, but coming to work here in the country and all of that. So some of this information is an information that we may want to say that and evaluate it and then say that, but the committee will not have time to really deal with such issues. We can therefore recommend that there is a process that is on, which we respect and want to give support to the Zondo Commission that is on. And refer some of the issues to say, but via Parliament, through proper channels, obviously, to say that we are making this recommendation. We request that certain information can then be further investigated within the commission that is on now. Because we have to support that commission as much as we are doing our work here. This is what we are doing is a constitutional requirement. Committees of Parliament have a constitutional obligation to invite or to call anyone to appear before it to do oversight over the executive, including the departments that we do oversight on. So it's a constitutional requirement, and we cannot falter when it comes to this work.
No, indeed. But I mean, also extending it, because obviously this inquiry is focusing on the Gupta family in this particular instance. We also know that they had vast business interests. What comes to mind immediately is obviously their media interests, that being ANN7 as well as the New Age. There was also obviously allegations raised, or at least questions asked around the role that the Department of Home Affairs played in giving people work, you know, visas. And in some instances, there were also alleged irregularities with regards to some of the staff members who were non-nationals. Is that going to be part of the course and scope of what you're going to look into here as well? Because surely that also bleeds into some of the questions that we have to ask. It's not just the individual naturalization of individual members within the Gupta family, but also some of the people that they brought into the country to work for them through their media company.
No, that is correct. You see, that's why we said let's broaden up this investigation by Parliament, and then look at even the officials of the department who are involved in some of the issuing of this. We have already identified them, by the way.
Yeah.
And then these officials, we are going to call them to come and account on their activities. That is the work of Parliament. We are going to call them as long as they are still employed in the department, they're still alive. Even if they're not employed by the department, but they're still alive, they can still walk and come to Parliament. We are going to do that. We are going to invite them. They're going to appear under oath, and they're going to tell the truth, nothing else but the truth of their actions. And then that is why, at the end of the day, the committee will then evaluate whatever information that is given, but guided by the law. You see, one thing that we're going to do here, we're not going to do anything outside the immigration law and the civic law, because the citizenship of this country, the act that deals with, dictate exactly how do you qualify to become a citizen. The immigration deals with the issues of permits as you enter the country. The immigration law is very clear again. What visa, what permits do we have? At what point do you apply for permanent resident? At what point do you apply for citizenship? So all of that is within the law. So that's what we're going to be doing. If anything that we found that this was done outside the parameters of the law, definitely that's where we're going to be able to make our own recommendations and then instruct those that have done it to really reverse those things and to take action if we found that any of these officials of the department have done something wrong.
I mean, added to that, of course, Chairperson, the immediate question that I'm going to ask you, and I ask this of our advocate, this is where I'm going to leave it. I ask this of Advocate Andy Motibi, who is the head of the Special Investigating Unit earlier on, is that there's obviously, we're seeing the SIU acting. There has been concerns about how quiet the SIU has been in the not-too-distant past. Portfolio committees within Parliament, there has been allegations by both civil society as well as opposition parties, basically saying we're a bit worried about how the role that Parliament is playing through its portfolio committees in holding the executive to account. Are we seeing a surge of Parliament playing its role and actually really, really holding the executive to account and making people account for the wrongs that they're doing?
Look, I'll start with the portfolio committee that I'm chairing as the chair of the committee, because I take responsibility of the activities of the committee. But I will be very sure, and I'm very sure when I'm standing where I'm sitting here, that the work that we are doing is in line with what we are required to do, and we are doing it to the best of our ability. We do very robust, you know, oversight over the department. I think we are on record, right? Mm. Other committees, they may have done their own, you know, way of, you know, interacting. Sometimes they may not be robust, but they may have picked up issues that they want to pick up. You know, sometimes it's not about the level of noise that we make to the department. It's about what issues that are coming forward and what are we finding and what are we recommending to Parliament or to the department for action that must be taken. So in the last years, obvious, Parliament has been very much strong. Mm. Maybe weaknesses there and there, as it does happen sometimes. Mm. But I think committees of Parliament have been doing very well, and we are encouraged, in fact, those committees, because, you know, from the support that we get from Parliament itself, you know, from the Speaker's office, you look at the support that you get, the legal support, the research support, and all of that. We are very much, you know, capacitated now that we can. That's why we are able now to can call anyone, and no one can come and take chances before the portfolio committees of Parliament now.
I would have loved to continue this conversation, because you use the word now there, Chairperson, and, you know, the key question that comes out is why now? And not before, but I'm not going to go down that line. I promise you, if we have an opportunity to do a discussion like this again, then I'll take it up with you. But really, I do appreciate your time.
Okay, now thank you very much. Now again, we'll continue doing our
work. I picked up on the pun there. All the best to you. It was the chairperson of the of Parliament's Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs. That is, of course, Mr. Patrick Hlomane Tshauke. Telling us that they're going to look into, do a bit of a deep dive into how did the Gupta family attain their naturalization. I think many of you at home, including myself in the studio, saying it's about time.